listening to the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce podcast. We're connecting voices right across Norfolk.
Welcome to the Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver, and in today's podcast, I'm chatting with Mark Elloway, Digital Marketing Director of Big Fork.
Before we talk about the 12 years of Big Fork, I just wanted to ask you about your career path, because we've just launched CoNext, which is about engaging, encouraging and empowering under 35. So as a young professional, what was the start of your career like?
Yeah, well, going back a long way, I'm afraid. I went to college. I didn't go to university or anything, so I didn't do that well at school. Sort of did a few bum jobs and then went to college. So I did what's called a BTEC Higher National Diploma in Business and Finance. I think they still do them. And they told me, yeah, you know, it's a 3-year course. It's as good as a degree. Though I later found out it wasn't, you know, people hadn't really...
HND, it was a 2-year course, wasn't it?
HND, yeah. It was actually, yeah, 3 years. Yeah. It felt like 3 years, I think. So I did that as Business and Finance. And in your second year, you specialised either in accounting or marketing, and I was useless at accounting. You know, I just couldn't get the balance sheet to balance. I still can't. You know, we employ an accountant now, luckily. But marketing was great, and we had like speakers come in from industry, which is really good. And I really liked the sound of marketing. It was creative, you know, and marketing. You know, I mean, this was in late 80s, so marketing was coming quite fashionable then. So yeah, so I did that. Then I left in 1990, finished that. It was a big recession on, so there wasn't really many jobs around anyway. So I went down to London, worked at Majestic Wines for a little while. Then I got a marketing job, and then I really loved London. Brilliant city. Excellent city, but I thought, oh, actually, I just prefer Norwich, really. I said a lot of my friends lived in Norwich, so I came back here and I got a job with an agency called Datadrum, and I started off as an account executive, and they just gave me a desk phone and said, here's one account. We had Windsor Bishop, the jewellers in Norwich.
That's a great account.
And that was completely different then. You go in there and it's like going back in time. Do you remember that programme, Are You Being Served?
Yeah.
It was just like that. The guy who ran that. And they gave it that, and he said, you need to get yourself, you know, another 3 accounts within 6 months, which I did, luckily, instead. So it was very much, a big learning curve. But, you know, I got a lot of support there. Yeah, and learned a lot, really. And that was in the days before the internet, before email, before mobile phones, even. So, yeah, I bore, you know, the guys in the office of the stories of what life was like.
Well, it's interesting that you didn't choose the university route, because I think also people are now thinking, well, actually, there are other ways. There's apprenticeships. There's other ways to get into the job you want. And actually, you're just working your way up. It's almost become...
Oh, there is, yeah. Yeah, you know, well, I mean, both of my kids, you know, son has finished university and daughter's at the Norwich Arts University. So, but yeah, you're right, there's lots of different ways. I don't think many of the people we've got here, you know, well, two of them went to university. All the developers we've got have done career changes. So, oh, yeah, I mean, people, you know, gone are the days where you got the job for life in a company, or you did the same thing every, you know, throughout your life, is it really? Yeah, people can change. And I think, you know, sometimes it's good for you. Because I think it's when I was young, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, you know, when I grew up, and probably still don't to a certain extent. But I think, I mean, what I tell everyone is, just do something you really love doing. If you stop loving it, do something else.
Yeah, I think if you go to work loving your job, you'll never work a day in your life. And my dad told me that, and I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, yeah, I do, yeah. You know, and it's, you know, it's, you see, don't you? You know, I've known people who do a job and they do it for the money, and it's good money, but they don't like it. They really hate it, you know.
It takes the pressure off as well, doesn't it? When you're just starting your career, that if you're going down a certain route, you don't. There's no pressure to stay in that. Actually, no. Change then and do something else. And I think actually, yeah, Businesses are open to people changing their job roles. Most people go into a business and end up doing completely different jobs.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, Hannah, who started with us, she's worked in the prison service at one point, you know, and then IT, and now she's a developer. And Chris is the same. He did various, you know, completely different jobs. So yeah, definitely. Wow.
Is there any advice that you would give yourself if you could go back to when you were just starting? Has there been a piece of advice that you thought, yes, that's something I'll keep with me for my career.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, I think what I learned, what I learned early on in my career is, you know, if you want something, you have to go and get it yourself. No one's going to give you anything, so you have to work hard for things. So when I got a job at Datadrum, you know, I was writing around to people asking, you know, I wasn't looking in the newspapers for ads. I just thought I'd just write around because, you know, 100 people would go for a job advertised. And then, you know, I'd heard a lot of jobs are not advertised, and that's how I got it. You know, you sort of make your own luck, as they say, don't you, really? But yeah, I think just make your own luck, just work hard at stuff, you know. And it's like, there's no point in doing things, and if you really do it properly, don't do it sort of, you know, half baked. People see through that quite quickly, I think. And people see if there's no, you know, if you've not got any passion, you know, not interest in what you're doing, then people see that quickly.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to passion, doesn't it? If you love what you do, or you're just excited about it, that's really attractive to an employer.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, yeah. You know, I've always loved marketing since I left college. I just like many, you know, all the sides of it, really, especially working with companies on it. I mean, you know, I've worked with like hundreds of different types of companies. Marketing is the same for nearly all of them, really. And it is, you know, variety is important for me. I couldn't be doing the same thing year in, year out, really. I think the tools change, but, you know, technology, it's like, you know, social media is PR, email marketing is direct mail. So it's all sort of the same thing, really. I think quite often people lose the sight of that. They think it's all about the technology, but it's not really. Technology is the tools you use to deliver the message.
Yes, I love on your website, for humans, by humans.
That's right, yeah.
I just love that.
We did a survey with our clients and we said, you know, what is it you like about us, basically? And they said all the usual things. And what they really said that came across is we just love working with your team. We just thought, well, yeah, you know, we're a digital company, so it's all about, you know, coding and we're using lots of new technology. But it's not really, it's about the people, and probably always will be for now anyway, you know, until perhaps we'll all become robots and things, I don't know.
Well, it can become a very complicated area for people, can't it? Back to then how you started Big Fork and the Big Fork story.
Yeah, well, Big Fork, Colin Richardson and I started in 2010. So Colin and I used to work at Datadrum. So I sort of started as an account executive and became account director of the company. Colin joined in the late 90s, so the digital marketing thing was coming out then, and it was we were trying to find someone who knew how to do websites, for example, and we were doing the prospectus for Hewitt High School, a sixth form prospectus, and having a chat with a guy we were working with on that, you know, saying, oh, I've heard about all these website whiz kids. He says, I've got one. So he sent me in, so Colin turned up, and so he got a summer job with us, and he learned all the software really quickly and built our first website. And it grew from there, really. You know, we grew the digital marketing thing from there. Then in 2008, the big recession hit. So we had a big design studio, about 6-7 designers, I think it was. All the contracts were pretty much stopped or brought in-house really quickly. And the only thing that was making money was the digital side of the business, really. So Colin and I decided, let's go and just set up our own company. Big jump.
So many people do that, don't they? They find their workmate that shares the same passions and enthusiasm, and then just leave. And
I mean, we'd already worked together. I mean, people say to me, oh, you know, like, you know, it's always difficult, you know, setting up business with someone else, but we'd already worked together, so we knew each other quite well. So I think that, you know, that's worked. And Colin was designing and building the website, so I was doing the client management and going out and getting the new business. We set that in September 2010. You know, we still didn't have our own website by Christmas.
We make websites.
Yeah.
We don't have one ourselves.
It was getting to be a bit of a problem, really, you know, especially on the new business side. Yeah. It's like, oh, where's your website? Oh, we don't actually have one yet. But so we got one together over the Christmas period. And the rest is history, really. So we've grown the business. You know, we're now 7 people. So we're still quite a small company. But we work with, you know, some really big companies. Some global companies all the way down to the smaller businesses, really. I think with a small business is like, you know, we can give everything to the client, and especially the bigger companies, you know, they're a lot more, I suppose, you know, they're important to us. Funny enough, we lost, I can't tell you the name, but we pitched for a website and we didn't get it, and we were told we were too small, we weren't big enough. And 2 years later, we were asked to do the website. But so the company that did it were a lot bigger than us, but you know, know, the service was rubbish. The whole experience for them was terrible. And I think it was just, you know, they were just another client to them. Whereas with us, we'd have really, you know, given them 100%.
Well, like you say, it's about service. And no matter how big a company is, if you don't get that, you'll go elsewhere.
Yeah, so that was quite nice, really. But yeah, small is beautiful, as they say, isn't it? You know?
It certainly is. I absolutely agree with that. So you do website design, SEO, PPC, digital marketing and e-commerce. I think a lot of those topics can be quite daunting to an SME, to someone, because it's language. And as you say on your website, you know, you're just talking everyday words that people understand.
What we try and tell people is, yeah, that, you know, there's lots of knowledge out there, but there's a lot of bad knowledge out there as well. So you can find anything out on the internet, of course, especially SEO. You know, it's a minefield for most companies. Most of our business is website design and build, so we get involved with SEO really when the company wants to drive more traffic to the site, really. So what we try and do is really sort of try and focus them on what is it your business really needs, rather than like, should we be on Twitter, how does it work, and that sort of thing. So what I find is a lot of companies we work with are not actually that great on strategy. They just think they need a website, but they, you know, what we do is take them through a process and say, what do you actually want a website for, really? So I find they sometimes just want knowledge about the tactics, but not necessarily the strategy. You've got to get the strategy right first before you look at whether you're going to be on social media and you know, what keywords I should be looking at for SEO, that sort of thing, really.
Yeah, I definitely think from the pandemic that so many businesses went to, we need a website because no one's coming out.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of people, did they then rush? Because everywhere you look on YouTube influencers, they're all sponsored by website design companies.
Yeah, well, a lot of business had to pivot. I mean, we did a job for a company, and it was a referral, as most of our new business is, and they had about four or five shops all over East Anglia, and the guy had to do something. So we set up an online shop for him in about a week, I think it was. So they've rushed job, but it's gone great guns since then. So his is a success story. So after that, we did the SEO and PPC, and he was turning over about $1 million, I think, in a year. A big success story. A lot of companies still haven't done it, though. You know, it's a lot of companies realised digital was where they had to be, because a lot of companies still thought, well, yeah, people still go shopping, and they still will do, I think. I mean, we went to see a company on Monday, and they still don't really have, you know, the big company. But they still are not selling anything online to their own customers. So they're a B2B, you know, they sell a lot to the trade, but also to the general public as well. But most of their competitors are online.
Yeah, I mean, you think everyone still wants to go shopping, but the high street's a challenging arena, isn't it, right now?
Yeah.
But actually, before you were going shopping, you would maybe Google and look to see on their website, have they actually got what I want? Petrol's expensive, if I'm going to make that decision to go there. And if there isn't a website?
It's expensive to do it properly. So there are sort of small niches that work really well online, but a lot of companies, it's competitive online. So when you do for an online shop, for example, you've then got to spend a lot of money getting them there. If you set up a shop in the high street, you've got footfall. So the more footfall, the bigger your rent is. So and it's the same with online. So you know, set up a shop, no one knows you're there unless you advertise it. So you've got to do, you've got to spend money on search, a lot of money on Google advertising. People do a lot on social media, but social media doesn't really produce sales. It produces brand awareness. So,
but if they've got nowhere to go, with all, like we were saying about social media, yes, you can shout about everything that you're doing and your amazing products, but if where they end up, if that isn't right...
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. What we say, it's the whole thing. So people like social media, for example, we find a lot of people will put everything into social media, but they forget the other things. So social media is great for raising brand awareness, but what you're trying to do, people are on a buying process, aren't they? So they might think, yeah, I'll be interested in that product maybe next week, next year, whatever. But what about the people who say, right, I need to buy that right now, and they'll be going on searching. So they don't necessarily search social media. So they'll be going to Google, they Google it. First port of call, you know, if you need a new car, a new house, new, you know, suit for the weekend or anything like that, you're probably going to go online and Google it. So that's where you've got to be. You've got to, you know, fish where the fish are. Is what it is. You know, and social media is great up to a certain extent, and that will be so. Yeah, you know, if you're So when I come to actually buy that product and I've seen your social media posts, I'll probably give you a look. And when they get to the website, so it, and you've only got one chance to persuade them, because if they come to your website and have a bad experience, the chances are they will never go back again. It was a top retailer, and the website looked great, but the whole experience, I searched for something and up came all the wrong things, you know, trying to get through the pages. It looked great. All the imagery was brilliant, but as a user experience, it was awful. And
had they come to you to say, or had you just looked and said,
I was buying something, yeah.
And so, would you ever approach them and say, I can help you if you want me to?
I think I did send them a message. Yeah, I didn't hear anything back then.
But I guess, so the pandemic in a way was good for businesses, good for you, for digital businesses, people were changing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it changed a lot of things. I mean, one of the things that it did do was, you know, a lot of people wanted to use people like us locally. We're now working for people nationally and internationally. And I think people don't necessarily think, yeah, we have to see them every time we want to talk to them. You know, you have to go and do the face-to-face schmoozing of a client, you know, and that sort of thing. But you don't need to drive down to London for a half-hour meeting now. You can do it on Zoom. I mean, we got a meeting this afternoon with a guy we're working with. He's just said, can we do it? Can we do it on Zoom? He's going to come here, but can we do it on Zoom? Because I've got to do an urgent call at 3. It's easy, isn't it, really? Yeah. Still good to do face-to-face stuff, definitely. But there's a place for everything, I think. Yeah. And so that's really revolutionised the way we worked. And also expanded our whole outlook. I mean, we had a plan, you know, business plan at the end of 2020, and it went in the bin, to be honest with you. And we just started doing another one now. So, you know, 2020 was all about, let's just try and get through this. And then 2021 was okay. It's around. We've got to, you know, come up with a new plan, really.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? Because in a way, everybody kind of thought, let's buy local. So you've got more local businesses coming to you. But actually, because of what you do, actually, you've got a much better reach, and people are looking further afield.
They are, yeah. You know, I mean, the other Friday, I had a Zoom chat with a potential new client in Cheshire, then a chat with a potential partner in London, and then a chat with someone else in Newcastle. And, you know, that would have taken you all week to go around all those places. I mean, we wouldn't have done it. It wouldn't have been feasible, really. So, but yeah, you know, you can talk to people all over the world in one day now. It's brilliant, you know.
It's so easy.
And I think everyone's used to that Zoom now, isn't it? And it's like, great, because it's like, I thought the working from home thing was really weird at first, and then you start getting used to it, don't you? Because most of us had never really used it before. I'd use Skype, but it was like... And the thing I love about it is, like, you're going to people's homes, so you're sitting there and, like, you know, you're thinking, oh, look, what's on their bookcase? And then the cat wanders past, you know, or the kids kick off, you know, and it's like...
I remember being on the news at the very beginning with a newsreader, had his son walk through, and everyone's like, wow, that's happened.
That's it, yeah.
And then now it's like, well,
yeah.
Man walks past, it doesn't matter, does it? Because we're used to it.
Yeah, you just say hello, you know.
I love that. It's a complicated area for SMEs, but what I love on your website is you've got your insights page where you just explain it, and it's on our knowledge hub, so thank you very much. The insights, so one of them was like setting up an online shop, and you said you did that for someone within a week. I'm sure that's a very fast way of doing it. You don't want lots of...
I wouldn't say, you know, it's got a few creaks and groans in at the moment, but you know, it was just a sort of what they were doing was just trying to see if it would work for him, really. So, you know, at some point, invest in something a lot better.
I just love that it simplifies, and actually having, because people, I think maybe some businesses probably feel embarrassed, or even if you're a freelancer or a sole trader, that I don't know what that means, or I don't understand how it works. And having those insights, it's just you're being very transparent about what the actual term means and what you get.
Well, jargon is a sort of a pet hate of mine. Being in marketing, you know, it's all about simple, easy communication that everyone's going to understand. So we try not to blind clients with tech jargon. So if we say it, we explain what it means. I think people are getting used to it a lot more now, but we do have clients and they have like technical or ways of, you know, the own language they use. And, you know, and for years, you know, part of our big job is to say to them, well, what does that mean? You know, so they will explain what you mean and say, well, that's what we've got to tell your customers, because they don't know what that means. And there's a lot of industries are guilty of that. You know, they can't communicate to their own customers very well, which is our job to do it for them.
But it's actually finding out, what does that customer want? Maybe they don't need a huge whistles and bells website, but they need something simpler, and it's just selling them the right thing, or creating the right thing, and it is a creative process.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. You know, and Paul and I have been doing websites a long time. So we made all the mistakes. You know, the first website we ever built was a complete disaster. We had to do it all again. We built it and then realised it was completely wrong and we had to do it again.
But you never made that mistake again?
No, no. Well, I'd like to think not. No. But you make mistakes all the time in business, don't you, in life? You know, that's what it's all about, really. And we learn from those. So what I say to clients now is we've got a very simple process we take them through. And I say to them, this process works. You'll have a good website. If we try and, you know, not do any of this process, your website's going to be crap. You're going to be moaning about it 6 months down the line, you know. So follow us on this process and we will get you, we will give you a good website that's going to last and actually produce results.
And you've got a bank of examples of where that's worked. Are there any website design jobs that you've had that you would turn down for any reason?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, ethically or just...
maybe ethically, but you could build an amazing website. But is the product or the market not right if you can see that?
I think with what we do, the chemistry's got to be there with the client. Yeah. So, you know, I've done this a long time, so I can go into a company and think the chemistry's not there, it won't work, because it's got to be a partnership, what we do. So if at some point the client and us are not agreeing about what we're doing, it's not going anywhere, you know, it's all going to end, you know, horribly wrong. So when we're presenting to clients and we're talking to them, we're gauging, you know, what it is they really want. Do they understand it? Are they going in a direction we think that they should be going in, or are they completely opposed? If they're completely opposed to what we think they should be doing and the way we work, a lot of companies, a lot of clients, and some web design companies as well, just go straight into design. They just want to see the pretty pictures.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing you can do, is design it. So if you design a website without actually doing all the planning work at the beginning, what you will find is at the end is the content, the words, the pictures don't fit the design, and there's things missing from the design. No one's actually thought about what the website needs to do. Does it need to produce leads, sales? Does it need to recruit people? All those sorts of things, really. So,
I guess that's where those one size fits all website builds that people can just go in and upload their own pictures. That's where it's confusing. I mean, they're a quick, easy.
Yeah, I think there's a place for those. I mean, obviously we don't do them. You know, we do, you know, all of ours are bespoke stuff. So I think if you're a small business, or it's a hobby business, or a hobby website, I mean, or something like that, that they're great. And you can produce really good websites with them. And I know some companies, professional companies, who do really good with those sort of platform builders, you know, like Wix and so on. But you still got to do the planning at the beginning, and still got to do
like
it.
You say,
properly.
It's so much more than the pretty pictures. It's the whole background, which drives the analytics and all the responses that they can get.
Well, the great thing about digital marketing, when I started marketing, it was very difficult to measure anything you did. So you did an ad campaign, and you did brochures and direct mail, and the client, if the sales went up and the phone was ringing, they think, yeah, it did a good job, really. So, you know, otherwise you had to employ a really expensive market research company, didn't you, to find out if it worked.
Yeah.
Whereas now you can measure it all. And it's just trying to get clients to realise that it's actually, with a website, it's a business tool. It's not something that everyone just thinks looks great. It's actually there to produce something for the business. We just did a mortgage broker's website. And it was really, really good to work with them, because the whole thing is about generating leads for their sales team. So it was all built around that. All, I mean, it looks like a really good professional website as well. So, you know, it's good eye candy stuff. It's a mortgage broker, so it's difficult to get excited about mortgages, obviously. It's not meant to win any beauty awards or any design awards in terms of looking great. But what it really does do is it's really good at user experience in producing leads for the company.
Yeah. And the fact that they get those analytics, like you said before, with door drops and mailing campaigns, you wouldn't have had that, well, only through the phone and sales. But now you've actually got those analytics that you can see.
Yeah, oh
so
yeah,
they're paying for.
You can, you know, if you do it properly, you can really measure everything, you know, and see where your best traffic's coming from, what's working on your website, what isn't. Because a website's one of those things that just constantly evolve. You don't just design it and build it put it on the internet and forget about it.
Yeah, it works.
And you'd be surprised, many companies still, you know, they have a website, but they don't measure it. They don't use analytics, or they do, but they never look at it, which is a shame, really, I think. And again, it's people concentrating more on the tool rather than the strategy. So, you know, they might do a big social media campaign, but they don't think about, you know, well, what's the long-term goal here? You mentioned our insights on there. You know, when we started the pandemic, we immediately came out with a strategy of doing content marketing because we couldn't get out there and network and go and see people. So we thought, well, let's just put content out, because you can post on LinkedIn, big B2B social media channel, but what do you put on there? You know, we put pictures of us, you know, sitting at home. It's not it's not going to inspire anyone, isn't it? So it's like, well, what's going to interest people? You know, and as you say, people want knowledge about digital marketing. So we just started producing articles and content about websites and SEO and so on. And we've had really good feedback. People always say to me now, oh, see all your posts, you know, and I think we do about two or three a week, but
the photography's amazing.
People think we do it every day, yeah.
Yeah, but they really stand out, don't they? And that's so important because, like you say, there is so much out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise, so it's always the same with marketing. You know, the creative side of it is you've got to stand out from your competition. Yeah. And very few people have got, like, you know, a USP, unique selling proposition, as they call it. So your marketing's got to be different to your competitors to help you stand out.
I think then that's where the relationship and the strong relationship that you build come into it. So you might all offer a very similar product, but it's how you react and how, like you say, you go in and meet someone, and if you know that chemistry, that creative chemistry is there, and they're going to listen and work with you, then that's the USP. When you find, I think that's the big thing for networking, isn't it? You recommend people that you really connect with.
Yeah, business is, you know, is all about people, is the one thing I would say I've learned, especially people work with people. As you say, the chemistry's got to be right. Yeah.
So 2021 was busy for you and the team.
Yeah, 2020, yeah, seems like a long time ago already, doesn't it? Yeah, I think 2021, I mean, we had some team changes, so it was settling. It was still, you know, bit reactive to the pandemic, but we were winning new clients. As I say, we were winning national clients, so it was all good for us, all positive, all progressing. I think the working from home thing, we went to hybrid working, so we've really mastered that. So some people really love working here all day in the office where we are today, or some people love working from home and coming in two or three days a week. So I've started coming in every day. So yeah, it's still been that settling in period, 2021. But we did launch, we started working on a new strategy for the next sort of few years. It's like, where do we really want to take Big Four? What do we want to do? And it's really focusing on what we're really good at, which is sort of website design and build, and then helping clients after that, what it is you want to do from there, really, and just looking at, you know, the markets that we're strong in. So we worked with a lot of manufacturers, and then food manufacturers, public sector we do a lot of work in. Even start doing police websites.
Are there any sectors that you're not in that you would like to be in?
Oh, yeah, well, I suppose, you know, yes, yeah, sports maybe. I've always fancied having a brewery as a client, but that'd probably be lethal.
It's like on-site visits.
But yeah, you know, all the sectors are different, but the process we go through is the same. You know, public sector, very different to the commercial clients. Sports is something we'd like to probably, you know, look at possibly a lot more, but it can, you know, like one of the things we're doing is just finding out from our team who would be great clients, do you think?
Okay.
They're probably just my preferences, yeah, but if you ask the rest of the team, you know, it'd be very different, you know. But
the winning great new clients, and obviously that's so important to you, having those relationships. What do you think makes your business stand out? Obviously we've talked about those relationships, but say one thing that really makes you guys stand out.
I think it's quality. Yeah, it's, as I say, we don't just bash out the work for a cheap price. We're not the cheapest, we're not the most expensive either, but what I always say to people is you will get a really good quality product and service from us. So as a website, we'll really work hard on that to make sure that at the end you get a website that's going to work really well for your business. And you know, people in their business, they want to be proud of their website, because especially the sales and marketing teams, if they're embarrassed by their website, you know, it's awful.
It is awful, yeah, it is. And actually, if you go down the cheap route, you end up paying twice
Well, anyway, they say,
you may as well just
buy cheap, buy twice.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Nan, for that. So, what are you and the team excited for?
2023. Well,
yeah, let's go next.
We are. We're doing lots at the moment. I mean, we want to get more new clients. We've got some great clients already, so we're really working with them. And you know, how can we improve what they've got? So we're seeing a client next week, looking at some new ideas for them. So it's more of the same, a lot more of. We are currently, as a company, we are going for B Corp certification. So if you haven't heard of B Corp, Corp is spelled CORPS. So that's all about making your business ethical, sustainable, environmentally friendly. People like Patagonia and Ben and Jerry's are B Corp companies. So it's quite a rigorous process.
It is a difficult process, isn't it?
So we're going through that, and I think, you know, we've got to make some changes. So you've got to change policies and lots of things. So Colin's doing a lot of work on that at the moment. So it's going to take time to get to that, and then you've got to get to a certain score, and then you can apply for certification, and then you've got to do it every few years as well.
Really. Wow, that is rigorous.
But yeah, we just think it's important, because it's like, you know, it, again, you know, what makes Big Four different, you say, you know, we think things like that are different. So we're going to be talking to the team about that, you know, and things like they can be doing volunteering, you know, what charities do you want to support? So we could do pro bono websites for charities or good causes that don't have any money. Plenty of those about, you know, so.
Yeah, I love that community, and I think that's especially true of Norfolk, I think within the business community and in general.
Yeah, and I think yeah, I've seen that increase, especially over the past 2 years, you know, especially in you know, a lot of our competitors, I suppose, you know, we're all talking to each other, you know, what are the issues you've got, and you know, and it's great because you talk to them, and you know, we share horror stories, we share, you know, like or who won that pitch, oh, that was what's her name, yeah, they cocked it up, you know, and all those great. So it's just great that we you know, we see each other and we're honest with each other, and you know, you think, oh yeah, you know, we're not alone, we all have the same problems, really.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think it's been a real leveler, hasn't it? And everybody, if you're in a certain sector, you're problems are going to be the same as somebody else's.
I think it's made me think as well, you know, because you've been able to go out, go on holidays, you have more time to think in a way, don't you? So B Corp came about, you know, we were looking at our strategy, and I was thinking, well, you know, it's like business is great and you want to make money, you want to make a profit, you don't want to be greedy, but it's like, well, you know, perhaps we can do more. We're only a small business, and if you look at it, you know, you look at, you know, the climate news isn't great, so we joined ecology sort of tree planting scheme. Okay. And things like that, and we thought, well, you know, capitalism as it is probably isn't sustainable, so things like, I don't know if B Corp is the answer, for example, but we're looking at that as perhaps a way that businesses can start looking at, and if they can make themselves more sustainable, then perhaps that's going to be better for the future, really.
Are you having more green businesses come to you wanting websites, or are businesses asking you, how can we be green digitally?
We're not really seeing that at the moment, but we are seeing a big growth. I mean, you can see out there there's a big growth in companies who want to be greener, more sustainable, more ethical. I mean, what we do is, I suppose, is not too damaging, because, you know, what we use is a lot of electricity, I suppose. We drive around to places, really, but apart from that, we don't really do much, I suppose, really. But hopefully what we'll do, we don't want to, you know, like, we're not going to go out there and say to people, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, to clients and other businesses, but, you know, they see we're doing it, hopefully it might interest them.
Well, thank you, Mark, so much. It's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. That's been great, yeah. It's been great to talk through everything, yeah.
Brilliant,
absolutely.
You've
been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast, connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.